All right, welcome back to Sheep Farm, another podcast. And joining me and Chris tonight, we've got Jenny Lynn back again, I think for the third time.
I know, getting a bit of a feature.
Well, we tend, don't we, Chris? We say that we found a group of people who we can have a chat with over a year, if you like, on one or two times a year. And it's hard to find people who you've got that flow with, you know? Although it might not seem it, we don't really push to go get interviews, do we, Chris?
No, not at all.
Or chats with people.
There's a handful of folk who we talk to, isn't there?
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Because we're actually quite happy sort of doing his own thing, but we do want to do different stuff as well, because otherwise, doing his own thing, you end up getting locked in that world, don't you? And you want to hear somebody else's perspective on the outside world as well.
Yeah, definitely. And especially now, after all this, what you call the nonsense the last 3 years.
Why? Something happened. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
But it's kind of like you can get stuck in the same treadmill over and over and over just watching the fear porn. Not just in the mainstream, but in the alt media. The alt media is full of fear porn. Yeah. And I think, we can get really stuck in that. And I think it's really important to, try and calm down from that.
Yeah.
Enjoy your life. Let's not let them rob the few months, years that we can enjoy our lives,
Speaking of there's no place like home, Wizard of Oz, Ariana Grande is playing, Ariana Grande, she's playing a character in the new Wizard of Oz. They're making a new Wizard of Oz, Chris.
They're making a new Wizard of Oz?
I think she's one at Witches or something like that, surprisingly.
That's about right, isn't it? Especially after seeing her with that, James Corden?
Corden, yeah.
Remember that Dancing in the Street video they did promoting their jibby jabs?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It was horrible, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know, that James Corden is somebody that's talentless. It's him.
Creeps me out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's a strange one, isn't he? I saw him in... have you seen him with Barbara Streisand doing that? He was doing that car journey. I think it's the same guy, isn't he? He does those car journeys with the select, doesn't he?
Right.
Yeah. When he was with Barbara Streisand, he looked at her and he said, "You've become quite political lately." And her face, she just turns around and looks at him and just quietly agrees. It's almost like he's blindsided her because she knows she has to be political. She has to be. Mm. It's part of her contract, you know.
Yeah, it's part of her, whatever she's signed up to do, the Faustian deal contract. That's what she is, isn't she? That's as Mark Devlin calls them, lifetime actors. That's her part she's playing. This, and I suppose in that, him asking her that's his lifetime actor part, making people know that that's why she's here. And when you stand back and you see all this stuff, we just started doing releasing the Huxley stuff, and we've just done one about the Doors, haven't we, Chris? And Dave McGowan did some fantastic work a number of years ago, and I know Mark Devlin's done a bit on it as well, and showing that there were military connection to all these musicians and what have you. And so in my nutty world, I thought, right, I'll have a look at the Doors. No interest in the Doors, don't even like them, right? But I've got nothing against them either. And so I found Ray Manzarek. He had interesting ties all the way back to military intelligence as well. But when you look at Jim Morrison's actual bloodlines, now that's real interesting. His ancestry goes way back to 1000 AD, you know what I mean? It's just Scottish like ancestry. And so when you realise that these people, and Chris found something about his death as well being a little bit odd, and when you realise that these people are just acting a part, and everything we see is just some kind of charade, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a brain... Excuse the language, fuck. Yeah.
I think you've been quite mild there.
But it is. It's really, it just really plays with your mind, I think.
Yeah.
You can understand why people don't want to look at it. You can understand why they want to put their head in the sands, because, to acknowledge any of this turns your life upside down, really. It kind of completely reshapes how you see the world. Mm. And like most people aren't prepared to go there. No. They've got their difficult, messy lives to live. They're not wanting to turn the stone on, on what's really going on in the world.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. I had a conversation with her. I was telling her, Dom, I had a conversation with a young lass because I work in the kitchen. And, the waitresses are quite...
Why would you say that, Chris?
No, but she said that it's interesting though, being in a situation, well, a job like I'm in, because you do get that, you know, version of events that I don't get, you know. And I said to Dom, I hear people talking about things, and once they're talking about it in the kitchen or the ear of the waiters, or someone talking about it, that means the programming's worked. Because, for instance, an example, like when Matt Hancock was in the I'm in the jungle.
I'm a knobhead, get me out of here. Yeah.
When he was in that, I heard two guys who work with, who I really like, and I'm not jibbing them, but I heard him say, you know, NPCs. I didn't like Matt Hancock. And they weren't talking to me because I think they kind of know where I come from. I didn't like him, but you know, I've watched him in jungle. He's actually all right. And you just think, it's worked.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or talking about, for instance, I heard some talking about anything that's in the news, and it's part of the what we would say is a psychological operation. Once you hear people just talking about, and then you think, for instance, the Dalai Lama getting his tongue kissed, whatever that meant, meant, I don't know. But once I've heard about three people talking about it, I immediately think that's been discussed now in probably just about every household in the country or the world or wherever. I mean, what a spell. I mean, what it meant, I don't know, and we'll probably never know.
So what's the agenda? This is what you always have to ask now. Yeah. If it's on the mainstream media, what's the agenda? Is it distraction? Is it disinformation? Is it normalisation of child pornography? What is it?
I don't know.
You know,
I don't know. But
whatever it is, we know it's not good.
But it was somewhat dodgy. It wasn't a real... Once people are talking about it, it's not a real thing, is it? It's there for a reason. Or if it is, it's there for a reason. Or it's been let to be in the mainstream media for a reason.
Well, I mean, the Dalai Lama was on the payroll of the CIA, wasn't it? In, I think it was the 1950s or 60s. 60s.
Not this one. You mean the previous one?
Yeah, there was, they were on the pay. So all the way through, these people have been funded all the way through. I mean, how? How can you take them seriously?
If he's... a religious figurehead and he's in the news like he is, he's got to be part of the thing, hasn't he? He's got to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they have just as many. I read a thing about Tibetan monks and I, it was a few years ago, and I remember reading it, and it was saying that they were just as, you know, kiddy fiddly as Catholics. And I was actually quite gobsmacked. So I thought, oh my God, I thought they were one of the, you know, straight ones. But any organized system like that where it gives you access to kids, I'm afraid, it's going to be corrupted, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've had this thought, you know, for a while now, that, you know, we think we know what's going on, us in the truth movement. We think we know, but I haven't slipped down the next rabbit hole yet to see another level. Mm. And I do wonder whether the next level down is the whole magic.
The labyrinth.
You know, the whole magic. The labyrinth, the magical, the magical side that they tinker with and play with, the conjuring side.
Yeah.
Which makes you sound even more nuts when you bring it up with someone.
Yeah. I think, though, that we are seeing, I think that's where we're moving to, that next place, because we are seeing the zeros and ones, if you like, of the Matrix curtain. We are spotting these things now. And I think maybe 2020 for us, that's what that was, the download of information. So rapid. And so we were so, I can speak from myself and what Chris has spoke about, absorbent to this information. We accepted all, I can't believe how quickly, in comparison to the previous 25, 30 years of waking up, we downloaded probably equivalent of 50 years or 100 years in equivalent of information.
Well, any suspicion you had or thought process you had about how the system was run, a lot of them came into fruition, didn't they? You were like, oh, I always kind of thought. For instance, we always talked about the fact that there were that there were no countries and they were all in cahoots, i.e. how could they fake the moon landings, etc. When this happened and everyone did exactly the same thing at exactly the same time, it can't be any different, can it? Each country are involved.
Apart from Russia, they're bad guys.
Oh, except for Russia, of course. Yeah, they're the baddies. And the Democrats in America.
All the Republicans, depending on what side.
All that nonsense.
All right. Trump's all right, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He's for us. Yeah, right on.
Yeah. He just solidified how much bullshit there was to me. I mean, he just made you realise how organised and
an operation.
Satanic or how communist or whatever you want to call it, how they were and what level of domination they wanted.
Yeah,
it's all connected, isn't it? I mean, going back to that rapid download you were talking about, Dom, you know, like in March of 2020, I don't know about you, I don't know if you're seeing this or feeling this yourself, but there is a lot of post-trauma from this, not only from the awakening, from those of us that realised what was going on, but also from those that were awake before and saw the whole plan, sort of the red button, here we go, there's the red button, we're going to initiate this plan now. That traumatised me. And then there was the whole trauma of the lockdown for all of the people, oh, well done, for all of the people that actually, you know, were got taken in by the whole charade, all of the trauma around isolation, lockdown, losing their families, and, you know, the vaccines, and all of, they took all of that. So the trauma that they're in, and they're still in trauma, because some of them are still wearing masks. Some of them keep rocking up for their vaccines. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're still rocking up for vaccines when everyone around them's dying.
Yeah.
And it's just the post-trauma of this whole episode, whichever side of the fence you're on, is so massive.
I suppose ours was different in the fact, well, mine personally was in the fact of, oh, shit, this is it. I mean, yeah. I didn't think at this point in time we'd be sat having these conversations. I didn't think we'd be allowed. I thought I was going to get dragged out of me. I mean, that's me being super paranoid, because I am. I'm not being pessimistic, I'm just being realistic. But I thought I'd be getting dragged out of the house by me 3 strands of hair.
Well, at least you got some.
Yeah, me by my eyebrows. Clinging on. Yeah. But I thought that was it. I thought drones are going to be flying. I thought there's going to be, you know, there's going to be guards in the streets. Not going to be. I really did.
Let's just say we were mentally prepared for that, weren't we?
Yeah. I suppose that's part of the way we are, isn't it? Because we were always thinking that, but I didn't think they were going to let the foot off the accelerator. To be honest with you. No. And I think it was due to people not complying. I really do. I think we did have a pushback.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. I hope that's what changed their plan. But because it's their plan and it's what they're aiming for doesn't mean they're going to get it. And I think that's where we have to realise, you know, that sticking together and following our programme of resistance. And
you could definitely see fear from the people on the TV box. You could see fear in the way they were speaking and acting.
Do you mean at the time of the beginning of the lockdown?
Not the beginning. There was glee at the beginning, but as it went on, you saw some desperation, I think.
Yeah, rabid jabbered.
Yeah, especially the NHS petrified. Thing. We've got to get all the NHS jibber jabs. When they were really pushing it that week, I remember saying to Dom, look at him, he's sweaty head on TV. He was sweating, you know, like you said, Dom. It's like he's been told he's got to get this done and he's not succeeding. Or even maybe that, like you said, Maybe it goes deeper than that. That were all part of the plan. Who bloody knows? But they were when they were saying the NHS have all got to get jibby jabbed on the Monday, Tuesday, and then they dragged it back on the Thursday, Friday, whatever. Just as an example, it was within a week, and they said it was because of new medical evidence, which was bollocks. It was because people were kicking back too hard. So they had to take a couple of steps back, didn't they?
There's so much, you know, I mean, I don't know if you feel like this, lads, or whether, you know, you're producing a show, obviously, you're trying to educate people still. But for me, it's run its course. And I feel like I really feel like I need to move on. And I don't mean like close my ears or forget I ever experienced it. I don't mean that. But it's almost like while I'm focused on all this shit, I can't focus on anything else.
Yep.
So, I mean, Dom let on that you've got an allotment now, Christian.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Just before we went live. So, you know, that's something to really, really focus on. And what with you being a chef.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm very excited about it, yeah.
Yeah, and it gives you a real practical thing that you can do. Mm. And, you know, for as long as we can, I'm not going to let anyone stand between me and my allotment, you know.
yeah, I'm getting like a ton of soil delivered this next couple of days.
Are you?
Yeah. Put some raised beds in, and I'm going to fill them up. I've gone halves with a woman and a... I'm going to fill... I'm a beginner at it, to be honest. I've grown a few things in back garden, but I won't sort of pretend I'm a professional at all.
Yeah. Well, Dom was saying that you grew up on the sheep farm where you did have...
Yeah.
You grew some...
Yeah, yeah. We didn't really get involved in growing stuff, but we had animals and stuff.
They grew potatoes, didn't they?
Yeah, mainly potatoes.
Spuds and carrots.
Yeah.
My dad did.
Yeah.
Well, I remember finding fennel in the field, and I dug that up. He didn't even know where it was.
Well, fennel, just wild
that's
fennel.
That's fennel, that is. That is like, what's that? Can you cook it?
No, it's one of the most satisfying things in the world, isn't it? I mean, I had grew some potatoes in my back garden, and I took some pictures of my nipper, who's five now, she's about three at the time, picking the potatoes. Then I took one of her boiling them, and then of her eating them, and I showed my missus, and she's like, "You're a fucking knobhead." She was jealous. No, she was jealous. She was just being mean.
Yeah.
Took some potatoes, took them out of the garden.
Yeah, because she wasn't involved. Yeah. I agree with her, though.
Yeah, fair enough.
You are a knobhead, but there you go. And you've got bigger nostrils than me.
Yeah,
okay. Such brotherly love.
Oh, always. It's gone on for the last 50 years now, so it can't stop.
All the bit one sided.
It's just a shame I'm not in the same house, could dead arm him. But, maybe I need some psychotherapy just to get this dead arm business out of my head, Jenny.
Dead arm? What has he dead armed you?
Oh, yeah. Constantly dead. I used to dead arm him constantly. All the Chinese burns, dead arms. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't annoying, though. You know, he wasn't annoying at all. anyway, well, let's get back to this download before I get warmed. My arm warmed up again.
Yeah.
But this download, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, I know a lot of people that have woken up, for argument's sake. And I've met some people that have woken up, but just not having the jab didn't mean to say you've woke up, because I also know people that are now talking about, oh, I'm going to vote Labour next time. You know, so they've not really woken up. They've just realised that that one thing were a bit of a scam.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it just goes through the whole establishment, doesn't it? I mean, it's just riven with it all the way through. Yeah. But I suppose on one level, they've actually dodged a bullet. I mean, I met my hairdresser. I've got a new hairdresser. And,
so have I.
I met...
Oh, yeah. I'm laughing at.
He gave it the same haircut as last one.
Yeah, I did, yeah. Duncan Goodhue. Yeah.
Oh, what you like. Yeah. But anyway, I was chatting with her the first time I met her in January, I think. And somehow we got onto it. You can't help but get onto it, can you?
No.
But she said, I didn't take any of those vaccines. And I said, oh, why not? And she said, oh, I just didn't trust them. I just didn't think that. So that opened the door wide for me tell her what actually was going on. And she went, really? And she took it all in. She said, I thought something like that. She really took it in. Yeah. And then she started talking about Ukraine. And I said, well, this, that and the other, you do know that Ukraine, you know, the propaganda we're getting at the moment isn't actually what's been happening in Ukraine. And I explained that to her and she got all that as well. And she was so wide open and ready to run with anything. You know, if she wanted to research anything, she could have gone straight home and just looked it all up. So, you know, I'm always hopeful. I only push on the door if it's already open. If it's not open, I don't bother.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because you're just wasting your breath and there's no point. There's no point. You just end up getting frustrated and angry.
You get too much pushback.
I didn't actually finish what I was saying. I was talking to this youngster at work. And she mentioned about being vegan, and she said it was because of cruelty to animals and the environment. And I said to her, I can understand the cruelty to animals a bit, but the environment bit's bollocks. I'm sorry. Anyway, it turns out she studied at university, environmental, whatever.
Yeah, so what do you know?
Yeah, exactly. So no, we didn't have an argument or anything, but she was going, but how can you say that when, you know, one? I said, well, a lot of scientists don't agree with that version of events. She goes, it's 1% out of all the scientists in the world. And I'm like, how do you know it's 1% out of all the scientists? It's quite interesting. But she was also getting quite, not heated, but like I was insane. Mm. So even though we call people NPCs, you've got to realise that they think we're mad mentally.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Too right.
But it was interesting how she'd been indoctrinated and she was reeling off what she said were unarguable facts, right? And I said, well, you, the TV, say that. This isn't to be discussed because it's a fact. It's not a fact, is it?
No.
You've not learned anything yourself. It's just what you've been told in university or college.
Yeah.
But it was just interesting.
And also that so-called 99% consensus on the environment, people have been added onto that list.
Yeah.
And just a mildly scientist in the environmental realm. Yeah. That doesn't mean they agree with it. They've been added onto the list. And as far as I'm aware, there was one or two scientists that realised they've been added on and they've absolutely petitioned to get their name off that bloody list because it is just a hoax.
A dodgy list. dodgy list for a dodgy cost.
I mean, they've just been
rounded up, and they have to actively withdraw from that list.
I mean, the thing is, global climate warming change, right? One, we all know that the weather changes constantly, so that's off the table. Carbon is not, is it 0.16 at the moment? Some ridiculous, I mean, you can't believe that either, but if it goes down to 0.14, all plant life starts dying off. So how far do they want it to go down?
Probably the real plan.
But we're the carbon life forms they're trying to kill off, aren't we?
Yes, yeah. And also, they use an argument that is true, like big business does wreck the environment. There's no doubt about that. The surface of the earth, they wreck it. Yeah,
that's
materialism wrecks the... Thing. That's totally different. But that's the argument she was using, that then causes CO2 emissions, which is nonsense. It's absolutely nonsense.
Well, I asked her out of interest. I said, what have you learned about the ozone layer? Because when I was a kid, the ozone layer was the big deal, you know, and we'd listen to that. But then it's kind of no one talks about it anymore. She said, oh, I've met the guy. She said, I've met the guy who found the ozone layer. I met him at a lecture. And I said, well, what's happened to it? No one talks about it anymore. She goes, no, because it's healed up. I'm right, all right. So I said, how is it healed up? She goes, because we've used different aerosols and different stuff in fridges and stuff. Right. So we're not only capable of destroying it, we're capable of healing it back up again.
And that's probably what that nonsense were about, isn't it?
Yeah.
That whole operation.
We can fix the world.
Yeah.
It's an absolute delusion of grandeur, isn't it, to think that we can destroy this big, gigantic place we live on. It's ridiculous.
You were going to say blue marble then, weren't you?
I wouldn't actually. No.
We better not go down that road.
I'm going to say gigantic, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I would say septic.
Yeah. We had Sherry on, Sweeney, the other week.
Oh, is that Jerry's colleague?
Yeah, Jerry's who bosses him around, she says, makes him do what she needs him to do. Poor Jerry. But Sherry's very interesting to talk to as well. And we were obviously, when you go, when we speak to yourself, we speak to Jerry and Sherry, it's all a lot of it's about the other entities. And when you're talking about the other realm or going deeper down, is that where we're going to meet these other entities, you know, or some other entities, whether they're metaphysical or real or... I'm on about from a knowledge base point of view.
Yeah, when you say you're going to meet, what do you mean?
Well, not meet, but like the voices that we've spoke about in previous podcasts. These are obviously the negative entities, or we presume the negative. Maybe this is all part of the schizophrenics are the negative side to it, but there might be a positive side to it for all we know as well. There's always a yin and a yang, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, my concept is ever evolving around what these voices are and what kind of entities we're looking at, because I think there is a massive range of different kinds of entity attachments, all kinds of lost souls and, you know, energy fields and energy thought forms and everything. And I think because we live so strongly in the material world and we don't believe in any of that, and I'm not talking we as in you, me and Christian, but... You know, like generally there is no understanding that there is another realm of life that is so so real but unseen. And I think, you know, there are lots of different kinds of entities and lots of different attachments. Did you ever watch The Three Witches with Charmed? Did you ever see Charmed?
No,
I've heard of it. No.
When my daughter was young, we'd sit and watch Charmed. So this would have been about 15 years ago, probably. And there was this whole beautiful American series with these three beautiful women, and it was all about, they were witches, they were white witches, and they were always defeating the dark entities around them. And they would slip in and out of these different realms through their books, and, you know, they had this sort of, like, I can't remember what they called it now, like a divining book where they had all their spells, magical spells in. But they were clearly on the white right side and all of the bad entities were on the left. But wherever they went, every episode, there was a different kind of energy, a different kind of demon, a different kind of thought form, a different kind of energy. And I really believe that we've got the imps and the elves and the fairies and the, you know, all of these different kind of little sort of spiritual nature forms that we don't know anything about. We just don't know anything about them unless you spend time perhaps on psilocybin or some other kind of, do you know what I mean, DMT or whatever it is we take. And unless you spend time on in those realms in a kind of, what's the word, hallucinogenic state.
Altered
state. We never get to know what's really going on. And even then, you know, I have never done that. I would love to do it one day, but I'm looking for the right person to take me on those journeys, because I've been there once. As you know, I've been there when I was 23 and I was freaking out, schizophrenic. You know, you slip down this rabbit hole, you end up on the other side. And before you realise it, you're stuck there. You cannot come back. You don't know how to get back. So, you know, I'm waiting for somebody who can take me on that journey, who knows the other side very well. And you know, if you read Of Water and the Spirit by Maledoma Somme, which is an amazing book, I recommend everyone read it. But he talks about his initiation when he was a teenager and how the shaman or the seniors in his tribe would give him very strict instructions when he went into the hallucinogenic state. He had very strict instructions that when he was on the other side, he had to do this, that and the other, and he had to find his way back. And he talked about all of the different entities that were attaching to him and trying to seduce him so that he would stay on that side. And he had to negotiate his way back. And so these entities, they're all around us. They're everywhere. And, you know, I'm sure all kinds of thought forms and entities are attached to all kinds of people. It wouldn't surprise me if this whole vaccine rollout is all about attaching entities to people or... Do you know what I mean? Weakening their integrity, their bodily integrity, so that they can get a way in.
Their force shield, if you like, or whatever you want to call it.
You try telling someone who's been jib-jab that story. I mean, you struggle to tell them it's just for money, and then the next level, and the next level, and the next level.
Yeah.
I tell them it's for spiritual and attachment.
I know, but I agree.
I think you could be right, though. I do as well.
Yeah.
I think this is where, you know, I mean, I hate to be a bit woo-woo about this, and to me it feels very real, but, you know, this is where, you know, in the last 100 years or so, maybe longer, I don't know how long really, but we have been seduced by material. Yeah. If you look at pharmaceuticals, it's all about physical. It's all about how the body fits together, the nuts and bolts. Mm. So, and we know the body is a beautiful harmonizing system. That if you mess about with it, it's going
to
get ill.
Which extends to the planet, or wherever it is. Which extends to the whole place we live in, doesn't it? We're saying we can fix it because it's broken. We've broken it, but we can fix it.
Yeah.
It's just the same thing on a smaller scale, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, fix it with what? More technology. Yeah. Oh, right, that's really going to help.
Yeah.
What we really need is to get our shoes off, walk on the grass, eat local grass-fed cows and, you know, homegrown food, and get more sunlight in our eyes. I mean, really, it's so simple. Yeah. But you tell that to the majority of people with busy lives and they live the same day, you know, year in, year out. It's like Groundhog Day, isn't it? Mm. A job is really just the same thing every single day.
Yeah.
You know, why would you do that? Why would you do that if it weren't for an economic imperative? Mm. I mean, you wouldn't, would you?
And on day-to-day level, I've discussed this with Dominic, you do struggle to find anyone to have any deep, meaningful conversation with. I mean, I'm probably the worst of it. I just talk crap all the time. But, you know, you try and throw a few things out there, don't you? I just find no one's interested. Even talking about the last 3 years, no one's interested, I find. You know, it's just not a...
Really?
What I mean is when I go out to work, it's just not a subject anyone ever brings up, which I find really strange. And I've said this for a year or so. It's just, it's not something that's brought up. I mean, it should be discussed quite heavily, you would have thought, wouldn't you?
Well, especially when they've been, they've been provoking people to talk about it with the Matt Hancock diaries or whatever. Not the diaries, the text messages that came out in the Telegraph. I mean, it's there for everyone to discuss. Yeah. And
it's not really talked about. That's what I experience. I mean, maybe they just don't talk to me. That's possible.
But again, just going back to the entity attachments from these jabs. So you've got a guy standing up on a podium, Sir Chris Whitty, who went to a college called Malvern College, Aleister Crowley's college.
Oh, really? Really.
C.S. Lewis's college, who were a dark occultist. You've got people of this ilk who, his role in time, if you like, in our opinion, when we did our one of our first deep dives into people, Chris Whitty was the second one. His father worked for MI6. He actually got killed, murdered in Athens, did his dad, when Whitty was young. He got shot in a car, and they said, oh, you got mistaken for an MI6 agent. Yeah, that's what happens. And so you've got, I don't know whether Chris Whitty is a dark occultist, but he certainly went to a college where a leading dark occultist and a few others have come out as dark occultists. But he's delivering a jab that could open you up to entities.
In theory, fact.
Mm. In theory. All theory based.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, it's certainly designed, isn't it, to take away your spiritual...
Your soul, it's designed. Your essence.
To take away... Well, one assumes it's designed for that. I mean, if you're going to go into the transhumanist agenda, which is where, you know, our humanity is compromised and we become half robot, half human, then, of course, they don't need souls, do they? They don't need people to be switched into the real matrix, like the real beauty of the planet. They want to, you know, synthesize everything, don't they?
My nipper got, what is it recently, Jenny? What was it called? Scarlet fever.
Right.
So it was interesting because she was ill for a little bit and then she came out in this red rash. But anyway, she went, my missus got really panicky. So she went to the doctors and they gave her some potion. And she was getting better, I thought, anyway. But she gave her it and she threw up immediately. She coughed. She wasn't coughing. She coughed and coughed and threw up. And then my missus said, I think you're right. We shouldn't give her that. You know, and they wanted her to have it for 10 days. Anyway, she went back to the doctor because she had a little bit of a skin liaison on her nose. And for some anyway, the doctor basically said, did you give her that 10 days of medicine? And she said no, because she was immediately sick. I think she had had penicillin and that was it. I think she had an allergic reaction to it. And the doctor said, no, you can't have an allergic reaction. And Lucy said, what would have happened if it was allergic? She said, just stop breathing.
That's all right then.
It's all right then, yeah. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know anything, but if you take something and you expel it immediately, then you've actually dodged the bullet, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because otherwise you'd have kept it in your body. And then one of my points I'm trying to make is, just by mother's instinct, this is like, I'm not giving her any more, no way. I mean, I didn't want to give it anywhere. But a lesson learned, I suppose. But
yeah,
that's what no one wants to follow, is their instinct. Because, I mean, how many people would have continued to force that gunk down their throat for 10 days, even though it made them violently ill?
Yeah, I know.
And the fact that the quack was annoyed with her for not finishing the course.
There's a new antibiotic out at the moment. GSK are going to launch it. Nice GSK. It's called Jepodicin. Darcin.
Jeopardizing.
Jeopardizing. It's spelled Jeopotidacin. Jeopardizing.
Can make it up.
It's an experimental antibiotic that acts as a tropismers inhibitor, type 2 inhibitor. And when you go through to that and see what that is, it's basically alters your DNA. So these aren't now standard, because they don't make any money out of these antibiotics anymore, because they're all generic. There's no patent on them. They're now having to come up with new types of antibiotics. And
why would they need to alter anyone's DNA?
Well, because that's the whole plan is to alter DNA, isn't it?
I'd love to get a little window into the actual dream plan of what, you know, if it all went right. Wings or fish heads or what?
But this is what they're pushing now. So now people are going to be running, because they're getting used to antibiotics. So they're calling this an antibiotic, when in reality, it's not like that jab wasn't a traditional vaccine, even though they were shite to start with.
Yeah.
They're selling it as a vaccine. They're selling this as an antibiotic when it's obviously something different.
Well, you can see a pattern here, can't you? It's like the 5G thing, isn't it? 3G and 4G, and then 5G, which is totally different, but they're selling it as the same thing.
Well, 5G is like, if you imagine, if 4G were a moped, 5G would be a fighter jet. That's the difference in speed.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, but the sad thing is, people have been so seduced by pharma, big pharma.
Yeah.
You know, what always amazes me is that if people get ill, the first thing they do is phone a doctor. And you think, God, there's so many things you could do for yourself before you phone a doctor.
There's no instinct there anymore, is there?
The instinct's gone. This is what you were saying just before, Christian, about people aren't following their instincts. They're just submitting themselves to pharmaceutical intervention.
And I might be repeating myself here, Jenny, but I was monitoring my nipper because I heard a doctor say that it could be like a download. And when she got better, she's like a different person. Yeah. She'd literally grown, emotionally, conversation, I think physically a little bit, looked different. I said to myself, "What did you see? She looks any different. Her eyes look different. Her face looked different. More alert."
Did someone alert you to that, or did you? You're just saying that's what you know.
No, I heard a doctor just when my nipper was born, or just before she was born, talk about it. And he was saying if they have a fever, because basically pharmaceuticals, they stop the fever or they stop the natural progression of the illness, if you like.
They block it.
They block the symptoms. Like it all does. So it's not allowed to go its course. But he said if you get a kid and they've got a fever, unless they go listless and they're not eating and, you know, and they're vacant, then take them to the doctor, obviously. But if it's a fever, just let them sweat it out. And it's an upgrade because they're constantly getting rid of all the cells. And that's getting... So she'd been ill about three times. She had chicken pox, that foot and mouth. And every time I've watched and noticed that she's had a little booster.
Wow. Yeah. That is a real insight. You know, I mean, we really should pay attention to that, I think.
Well, obviously, that's why we're not told to pay attention to
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you get a cold, everything's to get you back to work. It's not to cure you, is it? Yeah. Cover up the symptoms, get you back to work. It's all full of sugar and, paracetamols.
But then the paradox is if you go along with the terrain theory, it is just getting rid of all the stuff that you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, that they say, oh, you can catch a cold. Well, I can't tell you how many years I've sat opposite people blowing and sneezing and I never caught their cold.
No.
You know, like in my practice.
Yeah. I always used to say that when you get ill, I said this is kind of just the thing to, if I get ill, I used to say it's worth being ill because you feel great after. And it's not because you've got, just because you got better, it's because you've probably got rid of a lot of shite that you didn't need.
I mean, the difference with terrain theory, germ theory, they're both theories, that's the problem. And, right, if your terrain's crap, whatever that means, if it's been attacked or it's been reduced, then, or toxified, then, yeah, they're more chance, more likely to become ill. Somebody put a comment on our YouTube channel, I'll put it up here, about the water. We were talking about water the other day. Me and Chris.
Oh, you should tell Jenny that story because I got.
Hang on a minute. I'm just going to put this up. Is it that one? Yeah, about fish. Go on, Chris.
Oh, that's interesting. I was just going to talk about Jason Vale, but carry on.
You're going to talk about what, Jenny?
There's a guy called Jason Vale who's one of these.
Yeah, Jason from Hell.
The
juicer, isn't it? Jason from Hell.
No. You know the juicing guy.
The juicing guy, yeah.
And I think he's got a little talk on YouTube somewhere where he says, if a fish gets ill and it's in the water, you don't add more toxins to the water. You clean the water. Mm. And that's exactly what juicing does. It cleans the inside environment.
Yeah.
You know, gets rid of all the toxins. And, what we're doing when we're taking drugs is we're adding toxins. We're adding insult to injury.
Yeah.
So,
well, we got a child some fish. One of them died today, actually. I got to flush it down the toilet. But, sure that bothered. I was saying on his last one that when you put the fish into the water, you get this little bottle of stuff to put in. And it says on it, on the bottle to take out heavy metals. What was the other one? Chlorine, harmful chlorine. And what was the other one? In fact, it was something else. It was three things it said it took out to make so the fish can live in the water, but we're supposed to drink it on a daily basis.
What this person, I don't know if it's a chap or a lady, said, the fish water analogy has holes in it as fish are water breathers and we are not. But anyway, I'm not going to read it all, but it makes sort of no difference because water, drinking it and breathing it, so fish will breathe water, we drink it. So He's still intake of toxins. It's how you can get rid of those toxins.
Sorry, Dom, I didn't read that. Is he saying that the fish are all right? The reason the fish can swim in it, can't swim in it? Sorry.
Well, it's a different argument, basically. That's right, what I think. Enough. I think they're saying.
Right. I don't know.
Well, it could be right, but I think a lot of the problem is that I've mentioned this before, haven't I, Chris? About genetically, we're compromised. That's what a lot of this eugenics move is. The MTHFR gene has been compromised, which means we can't detox properly. So loading ourselves up with all these toxins means that they get stuck in a system. Going back to the terrain theory, I don't like calling it terrain theory, because if you're living in a stagnant pool, if your body's internally, then you're going to feel like that whether you like it or not. That's pretty obvious to me. Now, the whole germ theory thing, I know there's an argument between germ theorists and terrain theorists and all that, but I think it's somewhere in the middle, me, because I think everything's off the table. Because I'll use Lyme disease as an example. Somebody says, well, it doesn't exist, Lyme disease, because bacteria can't harm you and parasites don't harm you and all this type of stuff. But if these things are designed to be different, if they're biowarfare weapons, for argument's sake, then that doesn't matter anymore, because they're actually physically designed to do something to you. They're weapons. So it doesn't matter if it's bacteria or a four-leaf clover. If they're designed to poison you, then they're going to poison you, whether you like it or not. And it also, if these bacteria end up in different places because your shield is down, as we've been talking about, and let's just say, if they live in your gut, they're symbiotic. But if they end up in your brain, they're not. They can paralyze you. And I think that's what's happening. I think these things are being moved around and altered. Certainly speaking from a Lyme disease perspective, I don't think it's what we think it is. These things were being tested in labs, and the ticks were being injected with weapons-grade bacteria, if you like, and then dropped out of aeroplanes. That's done for a specific reason, is that? That's not done because there weren't a load of ticks around. but, you know. So,
well, it's all a big experiment, isn't it?
And it's same with the water, is what I'm trying to say. They know that a certain number of people it ain't going to affect, but a big number of people it is going to affect. And so, one fish is alive, one fish has died, for argument's sake.
Because one's got a high tolerance of the other.
For some reason, For some reason.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. But that's where, they have a plan, but they can't predict absolutely 100% how it's going to run out.
That's why they keep having to renew the plan. Because we're people like ourselves, can you imagine how many people like ourselves over generations and centuries that have been to throw a spanner in their works, if you like. Why do you think all the attention is on people like us, people listening, that, why do you think we're made to feel inferior or third-class citizens or what have you? Everything's brought down on us who question anything. Because we're the ones that throw rocks in the shoes, aren't we?
Well, it's brought down. It's almost like ignored or brought down. It's one of the two, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know where to go with that one.
No, I don't think there is anywhere to go, really, but it's just more interesting to...
Yeah. I think the terrain theory as an all-encompassing theory is hard to get your head around. But, a friend of mine, I'll give a shout-out to her, actually, Lucinda. She's a friend of mine that I've met through Jerry, I think. Anyway, she was saying, I really can't get my head around the whole terrain theory. How does it happen that if I get something wrong with me in my house and my husband gets it and my kids get it, then obviously we're all catching it from each other? And I said, that's not necessarily how it works. If you look at how trees communicate with each other, they communicate through energetic signals through the soil.
Yeah.
Frequency. And so, it may well be that whatever's polluting your environment is polluting the same environment that your family are in. So they're all going.
You could be nodes, as in, and you're connected to someone else in the house. And how is it that if, say, there's four people in a house, three people get ill and one doesn't? So that happens a lot as well. What I can say and what I've witnessed is that people who've been jabbed seem to have prolonged illness. And people who aren't jabbed seem to get over things quicker.
Yeah,
that's what I'm seeing.
And there's some horrendous, statistics from the States on how poor jabbed kids are next to the ones that aren't jabbed. The children, just the children, over their vaccine schedule. I think it's since 19, whenever it was, 89, whenever they got rid of the indemnity for...
84, I think it was, yeah. That was after 84. The pertussis, DD, what was it, DPT jabs, the first three in one. Yeah.
And they gave them immunity, yeah. figuratively speaking, from prosecution, didn't they? And I think from that moment on, the health of young people in the States has just plummeted.
Yes.
Well, the richest country, the sickest, and the most tapped.
Yeah.
I mean, in this country now, it's like 36 vaccines for a child up to, is it 16 weeks?
Shocking.
16 weeks? Shocking. I mean,
I vaccinated my child. I think she had two. She had an I can't remember what she... Do you know, it's such a long time ago, 27 years.
Yeah, we've all been there. I'm not saying we didn't know any different, you know?
No, we didn't know. But the thing is, I found out pretty fast because when she was... I think when she was about 1.5, she had a jab of some description or another, and she started whacking herself around the face with her hands, doing this kind of like, hand flapping thing that you get from autistic spectrum kids.
Oh, God.
It freaked me out. I happened to be working in a special needs school at the time with boys.
Right.
The age of, I think they were, it was secondary, 11 to 16. I was teaching Spanish. And I was aware that half these kids had been diagnosed with ADHD and Asperger's and all this business. And I was just aware of all the differences in kids at the time because of where I was working. And when my daughter started doing this, it really freaked me out. So... fortunately, whatever happened, she worked it through and she recovered and she was fine. But for a good few weeks, she was really not good.
Did you immediately put two and two together, Jenna?
Well, I did. I did because I was working with school kids.
Yeah.
So I was very, very lucky at the time. But she's never taken another vaccine since. I won't have it.
So if you weren't in that situation, you'd have just carried on and not thought it was late.
Yeah. This isn't a similar sort of thing to when we call NPCs or sheep. I call the kids that were born in the 90s, or certainly from 1990 or 89 onwards, when they brought the first MMR vaccine out, the MMR generation. Sod this whatever Z or whatever generation. These millennials and all this. These kids were the first ones in this country to get, in the UK that is, to get a multi-dose of three vaccines in one. And that changed these kids. These kids have changed. And my first two got it, and I knew no different. My eldest lad got epilepsy. He's all right now. But it's changed him for his life, forever. So these things have damaged these children. And how many more kids... Let's just say... on a scale of 1 to 100, let's just say you're damaged by 0.25% somewhere in your brain, yeah? Where does that come out in the future? What does it alter? What sort of behaviour trait? I mean, this is your world, this, Jenny. You know, it's hard. You're not going to be able to gauge that from a child to an adult. You're not going to know that. And, does it just turn something off? Is that the empathy or, that reasoning or what we're saying, that common sense button?
Yeah, it's hard to know, isn't it? Because we're in a culture at the moment where kids are so robotized and disenfranchised from what they really are about.
Mm.
And that's a social thing that's happening socially. Mm. So God knows what the vaccines that they've had in childhood have done to them. But I do know for sure. So one of the things that I'm noticing in young people is there's a lot of this, what's it called? When the girls have problems with ovulation and ovaries, what's it called now? Something ovarian syndrome.
Yeah, I've forgotten. I actually know what it's called, but I've forgotten.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
That's right, But
and there's a hell of a lot of young people with PCOS, young women rather, not people. Young women.
No. Men can have PCOS as well. Don't leave me out.
Yeah. Do you reckon?
No.
Sorry, what does PCOS... PCS do? What does that do?
Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Right.
And I do wonder whether that's a metabolic thing that has been affected by vaccines or whether it's to do with the food, because if you know, like a lot of young people are very, very large nowadays. But I mean, when we were kids, there was no such thing as PCOS. We never, ever heard of it. Polycystic ovarian syndrome. But then again, there weren't any fat kids.
Mm. No. And also, I mean, if you read that fantastic book by, Invisible Rainbow. by Furstenberger, Arthur Furstenberger. He says that the frequencies, he started noticing metabolic changes in people, in humans, like diabetes and things like this, started when they turned on the telegraph in the 1800s in America. They started that's when the first known diabetes or the rise in diabetes started. So there's no doubt that these frequencies added to these jabs. I mean, let's face it, these jabs contain all the heavy metals needed to make you more conductive to these frequencies. 75% of his body is water. I mean, we're transceivers and receivers to start with. And going back to what you were saying about the family who catch a cold or a flu in the house, I think it's more based around a frequency rather than coughing on someone. They've proved that wrong. That's just nonsense anyway. I think all of the above, what you're saying there about this PCOS, all of the above, including frequencies, vaccines, food, water, chemtrails, the metabolic destruction of biology. the destruction of biology, everything, especially in girls. I mean, I would have thought they're going to attack the girls first, if anything. I think this whole transgender thing is an attack on women, not an attack on men.
Well, I think in a way, I mean, men are the ones that are getting very angry about it.
Yes.
The men that are trans women now, the men are violent and vile against anyone who questions their sexuality.
Yeah.
So I think the uproar is really with the men. I don't think the women are, the women that are becoming men, I don't think they're as aggressive and violent. But there goes the differences in sexes.
Yes.
How can you have aggressive trans women?
Yeah.
Because women aren't aggressive like that.
No.
They're bitchy.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? They're not necessarily
and they've not got hands like a spot welder either.
Or shoulders. Yeah.
League player. Yeah.
Just going back to MMR generation as well. So, and I was just thinking about this when you were on about it. Do you remember, because when we and Dom have got kids who are like 28 now, so they were like early 90s, that was that generation. But the cot deaths that were happening then, it was like a blooming pandemic in itself. But the jib-jabs were never discussed with it. And also, it was such a big thing, it'd be interesting to know the figures now, because it's not discussed now like a past thing that happened. It's just been forgotten out of history, hasn't it?
I know. And also, you've got a repeat of that, because that was called SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And now you've got SADS,
sudden adult death syndrome. I mean, now, there's a link somewhere, Jenny.
There's a link somewhere. It's only come about in the last 3 years. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, also, the MMR jab, Chris, these are the ingredients. MRC-5 cells, which are aborted fetus cells. So this is from the CDC's .gov website. Frozen recumbent albumin. So they've got, including DNA and protein. So they've got aborted fetus cells, including DNA and protein. I mean, that one ingredient alone should tell you I'm not taking this.
Yeah.
So if you get and I'm sure they know this somewhere, somebody knows, if you get female DNA injected into males, what happens then? I mean, I'm not saying.
I don't know.
So there's so many monosodium L-glutamates in it. Sugar, the sucrose and sorbitol in it. There's your diabetes. There's other recumbent human aborted fetus cells in it. I mean, it's like 20 different. But what they don't tell you is, and this is research I did, was some of the ingredients are produced within 20 other ingredients.
What does that mean?
Well, so let's just say you've got ingredient A, and to produce that, you have to produce it in. It's a bit like having cornflakes. So you've got a field of corn that's been sprayed by all the pesticides and all the other shite that's gone on it, but they don't count them as ingredients. They just count the corn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see what you mean.
So that it pulls all the other ingredients out. So it might list 20 ingredients in this MMR, it's a quad vaccine now, it's MMRV. But it doesn't include all the other ingredients in there. It'll just include monosodium glutamate, but monosodium glutamate on its own probably got 10 different ingredients in it. You don't include the production ingredients, if you like, or and so these are, again, I view vaccines now, and you're probably the same, or anybody listening, as weapons, the biological weapons.
Yeah.
And you know, the sad thing is that people actually think people who've not had the kids jabbed with this new spear will still say it's not like the old ones. They've been tried and tested and they're safe. So where can people get older if they need your help?
Yeah, good question.
The links in the description.
They can go onto my website, which is openmindtherapy.co.uk. I'm on email on jenny@openmindtherapy.co.uk. And I think that's how people are going to get a hold of me the quickest.
Yeah. Is everything done person to person, or do you do it online or...?
Some of them choose to come in person. Some of them are too far away to come in person, so we do Zoom. I do work overseas. I work with some people in the States. Some of my colleagues say, "Oh, don't do work in the States because you're not insured in the States." And I think, well, if people have chosen to work with me, then I'm not going to turn them down. They know the score. So,
all right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Take it easy.
Bye.
Come on, Jenny.
That would like be better than ours, or a lambar.
Yeah, a lambar, that. Yeah, you do get different bars when we're on farm. You notice them when they've just been finished drinking.
That was
finished drinking milk. It was like they were gargling. Yeah.
Young, be